raise it up, why? Raise it up. Raise it up, why? Raise it up. He raise it up, why? Raise it up. Raise it up, why? He raise it up. He raise it up, why?
Hey loves, hey loves, hey loves. My name is YN Vaughn. I also go by Y, and please welcome to another excellent episode of Raise It Up, Y, the podcast. We're coming at you the final Thursday of April 2024 in an episode we are calling, I forgot to name the episode. So it's episode 69, so it's birthday episode. So we're doing a recap. We're just going to do a birthday recap. This is going to feel fast. I'm telling you now, breaking the fourth wall, it will be fast. I have a dinner meeting. I am currently living one of the longest days of my existence. I'll explain that as the episode gets on. But for everyone listening on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify Podcasts, thank you for your non-refundable time and energy. Faith comes by hearing, so I'm always appreciative of anyone who allows me to speak into their existence. For any of you who are watching on YouTube so that you can see the excellent job my team does on my set and in this set design, shouts out to Wise Angels and Team Y. I am very thankful for all of them. They've done an incredible job. We have Onet underscore Ashe here with us, aka at E-Z-M-I-S-I-L Missile in the building. So, I'm saying thank you for your non-refundable time and energy as well, and for the fact that I know video killed the radio star, so when everyone gets to see what you look like when you're speaking and how you're doing what you're doing, it usually has a propensity to stick. Thankful, so very thankful for any type of listener you are today. If it's your first time here, Raise It Up Why is where OGs kick game to real ones only. When we say we raise it up, we raise up your self-awareness, your vibration, and your capacity for love, which is knowledge. Capacity for love, which is knowledge, being the focal point of 2024. We're doing this with non-corny positivity from hip-hop culture's West Coast to the entire world. All that will make sense as we continue this episode. I'm so very thankful for each of you. Let's get into grounding. Let's get into grounding. Grounding is a therapeutic practice. For any of you who don't know, I am a therapeutic edutainer, someone who is a trained therapist as well as an educator and an entertainer. And grounding is the practice of making sure you're fully present wherever you think you are. And I invite you right now to close your eyes. If you're driving, omit. But for everyone else, close your eyes. Take a moment. Be here with me. Hear my voice. Feel your feet. Bring your awareness down to the bottom of your body and rise up just to make sure that you're there. Wiggle those toes. And bring your awareness up and through your body. Touch your nose if you feel silly enough. You're just doing those very physical actions to prove to yourself, not me, to yourself that you are here. Another way of doing that, breathe a breath in. Blow a breath out. Do that again in through your nose. And out through your mouth. Take a moment, own this. This is a miracle called life, that you are breathing, you are winning just because you are living this life, just by spending this time with my voice right now. You're investing in your betterment. I encourage you to sit with that and feel proud. Let's go up. I invite all of us to go up. Let's open those eyes. Let's feel good about where we're going in this conversation today. Ladies and gentlemen, I just turned 42. Who knew? Ha ha! 42 in the building. And as we get into this, let's do the do-a-diddy first. We're going to get into a do-a-diddy. Do-a-diddy is the part of this show where we are making sure we... Do-a-diddy? You're okay. Making sure that we are doing the most to encourage original music compositions, other forms of creation. Today, you'll be getting another poem. We did a poem last time out of my book, Write Out. We're doing another poem that I've never performed publicly in Write Out. And this poem is called Mirror. I'll tell you why after I read this poem. And I have to read it because this one is not committed to memory. Guy I once knew from last month and last episode, that I have basically committed to memory. But Mirror, again, I think I wrote this in 2011. And here it is, 2024, and I'm reading it. And it hits differently. It hits differently today. Step away from that mirror, baby. While it does you no harm, it does you foul. Playing games and mazes tricks the amazing out of you, out of view. Got you thinking while you blinking like 182 that you could ever be less gorgeous than a sea of dimes and dollar signs. Beyoncé's and Halle's, the pick that chicks wish they'd rather be madly, baby, that's you. That's also who I know you can't see in that mirror. So, step away from the mirror, baby. Hey, step away from that mirror, baby. While it does you justice, it brings you no peace. On a butcher block, stocked, you're just a piece of meat. Let you tell it with your actions. You ain't met satisfaction. He's a stranger, stranger than the danger you attract with your back end. And while you might call that beauty, it's only really booty. And not a beacon of the reason that you think you're such a cutie. So I'll say it again. And until time ends, step away from that mirror, baby. You see a little clearer when you're out of it. When you're out of wit is when you win. Cause it's no laughing matter. Your butt is the joke. It's unevenly yoked to the golden beauty gorgeous that you are when you float off the tongues of loved ones when you're not even trying. So hard to live for love. More often, we offer dying. And you killing that dress is slitting wrists to impress the mediocre crowd that wouldn't know the first step in journeying to your truth, your biggest kept secret. You're beyond attaining. Buried treasure far and deep in the abyss of your soul. The greatest gift never sold. You were created beautiful. Apparently that mirror couldn't know. So step away from that mirror, baby. That's one of my more personal pieces. And I kind of perused it earlier, thinking about, you know, another new life. New year of life, rather, on this earth. And right now on my social media, Instagram, namely, I'm having a bit of a glow up, if you will, because what I realize is all I have to do is show my full body and my content breaks the bubble. With no hashtags, with no extras, as long as there's motion and my full body, I will get on your explore page at some point. And it's almost like this necessary evil to an extent, because it brings your, it brings my page the look numerically that probably looks appeasing to advertisers, marketers, brand partnerships, things of that nature. But in real life, it's just one of those things that is a microcosm of physical life, my physical life, my entire life. Because in 2011, I don't even think I was on Instagram yet. I don't know if Instagram was even a thing, but I say that because there have been a lot of rooms in my life that my body got attention before YN did. And when I say YN, I'm talking about my essence, my mastermind, my amazing presence, my heart, my soul, my diligence, work ethic, things of that nature. And again, 13 years ago when I wrote this, you're looking at someone who, as she was earning a master's degree, she knew a lot. I knew a lot. I've been smart my entire life. Knowing a lot about what you research or what you are told to study is one form of intellect. As we expand our capacity for love in 2024, without that knowledge for self, you can easily mistake what you see in the mirror physically for the total of who you are actually. A conversation we've been having in Love Lounges, shouts out to all the loves and love culture that attend Love Lounges or who work a little deeper in Lightworks with me. All that'll be shouted out at the end. Don't worry about it. When you take time to learn yourself, you're for your first time in your adult life venturing into anything beyond your ego. Without taking a lot of time to learn oneself, the majority of what you think you know about you comes from defense mechanisms and cosplaying your real life. Honey, you're not what you think. And I don't say that to anyone else to be preachy. This is a further evidence of YN speaking to YN from 13 years ago to now. Wyanna, you've always been more than what you've thought about you. And it wasn't until you explored more of you that you learned how big, magnanimous, amazing, gigantic, and deep you were as a person. I bring this realization to the forefront to offer that to any of you listening. If you have yet to get into the concept of my second book called Write Out, all you need is a pen and a pad and consistency. Write your thoughts. You don't have to have a prompt. It doesn't have to be perfect. Put a pen to pad and write every morning for lots of mornings. I've only consistently been writing since 2018, fall 2018. I want to say it was October. First week of October 2018 was the first time that I was like consistent and maintained the consistency. And let me tell you, I remember when I used to think the word deserving meant that I was entitled. I used to think if someone called a conversation into question about my worth, I'm like, worth? I mean, yeah, I'm worthy, but I'm not entitled. I had this misconception that worthiness, deserving, and entitled were synonymous across the board. Mind you, in Webster's dictionary, they might all be synonyms of one another. I'm talking about with the depth of self-knowledge, recognizing that you, because you woke up today, because you exist today, are worthy. Period. That's a full sentence. What are you worthy of? You are worthy of your own time and attention. Everything you're looking for from other people that you want people to take you as serious as, you're worthy of taking yourself that seriously. For everyone who's been in these conversations in love culture lately, all of the romantic relationships that everyone is looking for, you're worthy of finding yourself that attractive. You're worthy of giving yourself that type of time early on. I want to make sure that we have these types of conversations, and I'm going to beat y'all heads over this. I'm going to beat y'all heads up with this conversation in 2024 because that amount of self-knowledge increases your capacity to allow love in. A lot of us believe we're more loving than we actually practice we are. So I bring that to the forefront, starting with the YN at 29 and showing you a YN at 42 that is letting you know if you're not practicing self-love if you're not engaging consistently and almost daily with your self-worth conversation, I think you could be looking in the mirror and getting confused at what you think is so you. Certain guys mistake themselves with how much money they make, with their dick size, certain women with a body shape, lashes, weaves, men again with how many women they might have slept with or are courting at the time. These are all pride and ego aspects of us. And until we take a deeper delve, you can be lost in your surface, a shallow surface, but you can remain in your entire life lost in your shallowness. So I encourage any of y'all, man, get into some writing out if you want to know more about what that means. Come to a love lounge, DM at Raise It Up Y, RaiseItUpwy on Instagram and anywhere else that you can find us. And let's have some conversations and engage in a light work, one of the mentoring services that I provide. Let's do it. Let's get into it. All right. That's my mature big girl side of things. I'm like trying to live. You understand? We're taping earlier than usual and the hood sounds. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's happening. I don't know. You know, is this good? Am I in my thing? Okay. So I forgot to look at any of it or ask any questions early. So I'm like, she knows what she's doing. I'm like, if in case any of this sparks, whatever, do what you do. So check me out. Break it down. We're leaving Do I Diddy, where we talk about original content, original art, and we're going to a Break It Down. Break It Down is a segment of the Raise It Up Why podcast where we uncover already existing genius in hip-hop culture. Ladies and gentlemen, my birthday is April 13th. On April 13th, let's get right into it. We get deeper in my rap beef that I happen to like. I don't like beef in the terms of liking conflict. I love the sport of hip hop culture, of rapping and emceeing. I love outwitting with lyricism and draw. I'm a songwriter, an author, a motivational speaker, a professor, a bunch of things that use words. So while I enjoy dancing to the beats of a lot of the production in hip hop for far too long, let me tell it, people can't even enjoy rap music if the beat isn't what they enjoy, if it isn't what they like. Case in point, I don't know how That's That Ish on Joe Budden's podcast is about to catch a stray, but I love you. This is not any of that. I love all the cast members up there. Even though some of you think I don't enjoy Melissa Ford, you would be wrong. Speaking of the Joe Budden podcast, there's a castmate of Joe's called That's That Ish, and he doesn't see the glamour, the beauty of Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick Lamar is in my top five of rappers today. And what I always explain to other people who bring up to me the fact that Ish doesn't like Kendrick, and I enjoy Ish and I enjoy Kendrick, and they're like, how do you like him? He doesn't even like Kendrick. I'm like, first of all, everybody don't got to like what I like for me to like them. Who I like is my choice. They ain't got shit to do with it. I like people I like. That's one. Number two, what Ish doesn't realize he doesn't like about Kendrick is not Kendrick. It's beat selection. It's the music. Coming from New Jersey, coming from the East Coast, there's a different sound on the Northern East Coast, which would be New Jersey, New York, above DC. These places have their own intrinsic sounds that hip hop sounds like. It's the DJ Premier's, Pete Rock's are the sound architects for them over there. If you come down the East Coast a little further to DC, it's an entirely different sound that they're accustomed to. And it goes back to go-go as much as New Jersey goes back to house music. If you come down the East Coast even further to where my friends are. You get to North Carolina, you can get anything from The Baby to Rhapsody, from Ninth Wonder Production to Crisis. I know that's still the Soul Council, but I bring all of those dudes up because they all have different sounds. And if you only listened to someone like Ninth Wonder, you wouldn't know if you were listening to Second Coming of Pete Rock, or if you were listening to something more heavily influenced by the South. It's just so fun because I really love this hip hop shit. I really do it. I live it. I am it. And my birthday was no different. If you're looking on, some of you guys, you know, y'all enjoyed the twins a couple episodes ago. I did not do this for y'all. I did this for me. But shouts out to Nobody Jones Boutique. I got my West Coast 2 dubs up over the twins. Talk to me nice if you talk to her at all. The idea is Kendrick Lamar, Drake, and J. Cole, who in ever since the 2010s have been commonly referred to as the Big Three. It's been a Royal Rumble, guys. It's been a Royal Rumble. Where did this beef start? I promised my sister Wendy I would halfway explain it. She didn't know I would be on fast forward mode like I am, so this is going to be quick. I'm only going to start this beef at first person shooter. Everyone who knows hip hop and knows about this Big Three quote unquote conversation, you know it didn't start there, but fuck it, let's do it. J. Cole is featured on Drake's For All the Dogs song called First Person Shooter. He has a line in that song where he refers to himself, Kendrick, and Drake as the Big Three, where Drake goes on to say, no, it's kind of like J. Cole and me are the Spider-Man meme, kind of just pointing back and forth to one another saying, like, who's the greatest? So basically, Kendrick was eliminated from Drake, where from J. Cole's account, he included Kendrick in this Big Three observation. Press pause. From what little research I did, I'm always here to be corrected because I enjoy being accurate more than I enjoy being right. The top three selling hip hop acts of 2010s until now, in order, if I'm not mistaken, is Drake, J. Cole, Kendrick. So when people say, what is or who is the Big Three? How did these people get in there? Ever since the 2010s is where they're starting it from. And up until now, these rap artists have been the largest selling. If you wanted to extend that to the Big Five, you would have to include at four. I don't know if Future is four or if Nicki Minaj is four. And then whoever isn't four would be the five. But the top five selling acts are Drake, Cole, Kendrick, Future, Nicki, Minaj. This is not debatable. You can go do your own research, Googles, and go look it up. But when people talk about why are they even talking about a Big Three, that's why they're talking about a Big Three. All right, we go to a couple months later and from the time this comes out, about a month ago, a little over a month ago, a rap album featuring Kendrick Lamar comes out called We Don't Trust You. Future and a producer named Metro Boomin apparently don't trust Drake. It's clear. And as we are talking about this the day before my birthday on April 12th, a part two called We Still Don't Trust You came out. And so these dudes do not clearly trust Drake. Why they're beefing? Anybody's guess. Some people speculate it's over a female. Some people speculate it's over how deals are being done behind the scenes. Who the fuck knows? All I know is we're getting amazing lyricism out of all of this fuck shit. All right, cool. So We Don't Trust You comes out a few weeks ago. Song called Like That comes on. Kendrick addresses for the first time his thoughts about first person shooter and this Big Three conversation. Big line in there being, motherfuck the Big Three, nigga, it's just Big Knee, nigga, boom. And it's really like that. Your best work is a light pack, nigga. Prince outlive Mike Jack, nigga, boom. To all my dog getting buried, it's a K with all these nines. He gonna see Pet Cemetery. I didn't even know I knew all that. That's why I kept going. I was like, am I doing this? I'm doing this. So, Kendrick, for over a decade, has been hinting at wanting to lyrically spar with Drake. Going back to the control verse of 09, BET Cypher of 2010, and definitely said in his 2017 the heart part five, the heart part four, people throw their rocks and tried to hide their hands. Just say his name and I promise that you'll see Candyman. For the longest time, no one has said Kendrick Lamar's name. And I don't even think he was talking to Cole and Drake at that point. He was basically testing the field the same way he did in Control. In this particular verse, he says, hey, it is what it is. Holler at me. You understand? Here we are in 2024. Someone said his name. He on they ass. 80%, 95% of the verse on Like That was dedicated to Drake for a lot of pundits in hip hop. And about 20 to 5% was dedicated to J. Cole. However, J. Cole hops out the plane and disses Kendrick 1 week later on his mixtape called Might Delete Later. And how funny that foreshadow is. J. Cole, in fact, did delete the track where he disses Kendrick later, because 2 days after the song comes out and everyone's talking about it, at his own Dreamville Fest, J. Cole says, I'm not sleeping well at night. I don't enjoy what I did in dissing Kendrick. I apologize. And to a sea of his own fans says, who out here fucks with Kendrick Lamar? Don't we all fuck with Kendrick Lamar? You know, no, I'm taking that song off of streaming. He did so after he accumulated the results of higher sales because they got to listen to that diss track on Might Delete Later. So in a marketing play, in a smart business play, he kept the diss song on the mixtape for an entire week to get the numbers up, and then removed it because I think, quote, he said he wasn't sleeping well at night. It didn't sit well with his spirit. And Cole, for a minute, had been talking about doing rap for the right reasons and didn't care about being a king, didn't care about being on top of the pedestal. Then after that, went on a 5-year streak of doing features where he proclaimed he's killing everybody on their own songs because he's the best rapper alive. He's the best rapper of life. All right, cool. Mind you, in the world of rap music and hip hop, none of this is foreign. This dates back way before Nas and Jay-Z, way before Biggie and Tupac. We're talking Kool Moe Dee and the other gentleman who I can't remember his name. Y'all put it in the comments, but there's a famous cipher that happened and Kool Moe Dee ended up demolishing this dude on stage back in probably the Bronx or Brooklyn. It was like back then. Afion Crockett's movie, A Hip Hop Story, definitely talks about this. All of this is accurate and true. So this is nothing new. In the building blocks of Roxanne Shanté, who discovered Nas, would battle rappers in the projects in Queensbridge before, you know, and she was the only lady that was battling all these young boys. So, like I say, none of this is new. Will Smith was battling rappers in Philly, but his mode of choice was jokes in his raps. This is as old as time. Nobody is being weird because they are doing this. This is hip hop. Learn it or leave it. It's up to you. However, when we talk about Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake, we had heard from Kendrick on Like That, which has since and still to this day as I tape is the number one song in the country. This song is so big. When Beyoncé Knowles dropped Cowboy Carter, she couldn't get a number one placement on the Billboard charts. That's how long Like That has been on the charts. Texas Hold'em, I think, is up to number two. That's its highest placement so far because the world of hip hop, and I do say world because we are a worldwide thing, is in a frenzy where in America, where the Billboard charts just, you know, stand for us, we have had Like That featuring Kendrick Lamar at number one for close to a month by now, outselling even Beyoncé Knowles on Cowboy Carter with Texas Hold'em, just so you guys know. The idea is this. Drake, on my birthday, like he just knew I needed more energy for my birthday, Drake drops his diss for the first time. It gets leaked first with AI. Apparently, that's the idea. Then we realize, no, it's true. It's really Drake. He stands behind it. There's a polished version that comes out a little bit later. He's dissing the field because at this point, it's like 8-on-1. It's not only Kendrick that said something. A bunch of rappers have said negative things to Drake. He shoots at everybody. And upon hearing the leaked version, Rick Ross comes out, does an entire diss record, puts it out immediately. It comes out on Academics live stream that was happening on Saturday as I was getting ready to go to Hip Hop Till Infinity Museum. So I literally had hip hop all over my birthday. The stuff is amazing. And I love how podcasts are being utilized in hip hop culture today. So Drake is now getting shot at directly from, and verbally only, from Rick Ross. Joe Budden has done excellent think pieces on this. If you don't have access to his Patreon, you're missing out on part of the conversation. This is not an ad. I just love bigging up people that I fuck with. I don't need money to do it. I just do it because it's authentic to me. The idea is, though, when you have all of this energy running around on your 42nd birthday, I gotta say, it made me the gladdest girl in the world. But why I'm bringing this up on my podcast is what the beef taught all of us about ourselves. Since this beef has been going on, I've spoken at Will.i.am's institution for creatives, FYI, and we'll shout all these places out with their Instagram handles at the end of the pod. I've spoken and taught at USC's Thornton School of Music in their hip hop course, as well as just this morning, Tyler Bunzi, I love you. I love your North Carolinian class. I have been up since 5:30 a.m. on 3 hours of sleep because I forgot I was Zooming not at 8 or 10 my time, but it's 7 a.m. my time. And I definitely thought the class was on Tuesday. Fucked around and found out it was on Thursday today that we're taping. So it's really like that. No, but let me tell you guys something. In all of these classes and places and spaces for creativity and education, I've spoken about how we do anything is how we do everything. And what does all of this stuff mean to us? All right, cool. Looking at J. Cole bowing out of a rap beef and apologizing to the person he just shot at 2 days after that diss gets published is unheard of in rap culture's history. We have folks that thought he was soft for it. He was whack for it. We have a whole lot of his supporters saying, we enjoy seeing a side of hip hop where someone can take accountability and say, you know what? I was doing this to try to spar. I couldn't find a friendly but lyrically savvy angle. And now I feel regret. And I'm holding myself accountable, so I'm going to go ahead and remove. After it does what it does for my business, I'm going to go ahead and remove that song. And I bring that up because of another feature to all this. Entertainment industry. This is not a 501c3 or a, you know, a non-for-profit business. This is all big dollar business. We are talking about billions of dollars on the line when you put the big five or the big three together. This is not lightweight. This is not small beans. Everybody has brands they're protecting and people and big brands that have nothing to do with hip hop with which they're collaborating. Yes, we have to move a little bit differently in this industry now. So first thing I want people to see is, can people take accountability? Can we decide that, you know what, something looks a little off here and make a big call to say, no, I'm holding myself accountable. Boop, we're doing this differently. Yes, in my personal opinion, I think people can. I know it is a letdown from my personal perspective because you want to see people stand on what they stand on, but I'm also a freaking trained therapist. So of course I'm going to look out for the mental health of J. Cole. But it begs a question. If the diss were more widely and well received, because the diss was not so well received, ladies and gentlemen, would the apology stand? If people were like, yeah, yeah, and J. Cole is the better rapper of Kendrick and him. If people were echoing those sentiments and feedback was favorable, would J. Cole have apologized and removed the song from streaming? It's a question we would never know, because even J. Cole doesn't know, because it didn't happen that way. So we can't speak on what we don't know. These are just questions. Life, as you grow older, and my birthday has shown me that I can gracefully age older as well. What you'll start to notice is there are way more questions and way fewer answers as you continue to do this life thing. But all right, cool. Let's keep going. Drake. We see that the biggest selling commodity where rap music is concerned, which is the brand called Drake, when he decides to hop in the conversation and spar with his bars, much like 50 would do people back in the day, he brings up how well Kendrick sells. What is his business practices to say what? Because Kendrick, if y'all haven't noticed, in my personal opinion, is the type of artist that creates salient art to be consumed for a legacy, longevity type of time. A lot of people who call Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers whack because, again, they didn't like the beats. When you are looking for that song that helps you get through your fuck-ups, when you are looking for your redemption story, when you are looking to still be masculine in the music industry where hip-hop is concerned, but also get in touch with the realness of where you fucked up at, where you might have daddy issues, what transgenderism looks like in your family, what any of the topics that are brought up on that particular body of work, you're going to come back, maybe not to the songs, but definitely to the lyrics and the concepts. And they'll already be there for you. Real art, let Wyan Vaughn tell it, real art stands on its fucking business. It takes cojones, it takes balls, it takes possibly alienating certain types of commercial listeners, laissez-faire fans, because you stand on what the kids say business. You, as Rhapsody's new single talks about, stand tall. There are certain people who wouldn't dare drop music, art, or any sort of thing outside of what they've always done because they're too fucking scared to lose. Kendrick has shown with his body of work, he gives a fuck. And in The Heart Part 5, the I Want You sample, he talks about who he wants. He wants the hood. All you fans that go to Drake's shows and sell them out, half of you only know how to spell hood. Most of you couldn't tell me the hoods in the respective states of North Carolina, New York, Michigan, California, and or Georgia and Florida. If I don't tell you the cities, you wouldn't even, if I told you the cities, you still wouldn't know the names of each projects. You don't understand what housing projects are. People that buy records usually have the disposable income to purchase records. The people that Kendrick Lamar tries to reach are people who can't afford therapy, but need it. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a real dude that stands on real business. He's not here for your commercialism conversation. I know there's a clip of a Mos Def review of what Drake is like, and Mos Def kind of tongue-in-cheek says, so many SKUs, like Target, so many SKUs, meaning Drake, the brand, not the man. I would never speak on the man. I don't know the man, and neither do y'all. The brand Drake is bankable. It's dollars in the bank. It's been proven for over a decade now. Drake is in my top 10 as well, so please don't get the story fucked up. But I always think about on Nothing Was the Same, I'm tired of hearing about who y'all checking for now. Let's give it time and see who's still around a decade from now. That was 2013. This is 2024, officially 11 years later. There are very few people that were relevant in 2013 that could get arrested on TMZ now today and we give a fuck about it. Very few people. So the fact that there is a big three slash big five, the fact that there are certain people we can talk about, that speaks to how well they sell. Not if you a real nigga, how well do you sell? And Drake is number one at that. So when Mos Def says something like so many skews, he's not inaccurate, nor is he technically shooting. He's actually calling a spade, bro. You appeal to the masses. That's why you will always have a sold out show. But when J. Cole tried to discredit Kendrick Lamar talking about his album sales or his tour sales and things like that, at the time, Kendrick had the highest grossing hip hop tour in history with Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. The same album everybody's calling a flop. The highest grossing, one man by himself, that very recently got dethroned by none other than Drake featuring J. Cole on tour. I believe, if I heard accurately, because I didn't look this up for myself, the Drake leg of the tour where J. Cole was also headlining, the two of them finally apparently dethroned the gross income of Kendrick one man's tour. Are you seeing this? I mean, I know Onet doesn't do all this hip hop shit. So half the time I'm speaking, I'm educating her as well. So you're hearing this like, wait, what are we even arguing about? Anyways, all this beef, as I close this portion, all this beef is revealing something about you to you. When's the last time you apologized to someone? Why does J. Cole apologizing to Kendrick fuck with you so heavily? I understand for the sport of hip hop, but a lot of you are so young listening to this music and attempting to analyze it well. You weren't around for the 50 versus Kanye on 106 and Park and watching those two brands go against each other to boost up both of their sales for first week. A lot of y'all were not born during those times when Jada Kiss and Beans and whoever else is going against it, even 50 and Jada Kiss. I say that because hip hop has been so friendly for so long. If you go back and listen to Kendrick, he 100% in 09 was saying, I love what we're doing in hip hop right now, but I'm trying to bring the competitiveness back. Like, let's go. I'm calling y'all out by name. Everyone from Crit to Sean to Push to Drake and whoever else. I want to bring back the sport. So when people look at Kendrick's call out like a full-on diss, I think they missed the part where he said, I have respect for all of you, but I'm trying to murder you niggas, make all your core fan bases wish they never heard of you niggas, take every, what, noun, adjective, and verb from you niggas. Like, he was, it's about the sport for him. This man is a poet and a writer. When you're not talking the sport like that, I don't think this man is talking about that. This man comes from Chicago, grew up in Compton. Compton, right over there, Compton. He's not trying to get anybody hurt. This isn't about trying to get choppers brought out and you know, extendos brought out to a verbal altercation. This is 100% verbal sparring, but why does an apology hurt you so much? You feel so deeply about someone named Drake, some brand called Drake that you've never met in your life. What does Drake represent for you such that if someone doesn't call him the greatest, you take personal offense? What's really at play there? And when someone sees Kendrick Lamar as not as good as these guys and you take great personal offense to it, what does it speak to? What does Kendrick represent to and for you that it fucks with you that deeply that someone can't also think J. Cole or Future or Drake or Nicki, anybody else, Rhapsody, is as potent as an artist? These are the types of conversations I've been having in a bunch of classrooms lately that I'm going to shout all out in the Pay Your Dues. And it's just been a really fun time in hip hop, as well as for me personally, This is what I get into this for. I love nouns, verbs, curves, curbs, all of the stuff that's happening in hip hop right now. As a songwriter, as a lyricist when I need to be, and as a poet always, all of this shit feels exciting to me because for so long, like we talked about earlier, the emphasis has been on the sound of hip hop such that you don't give a fuck what the person is saying. Half the rap albums that y'all like could have been instrumentals with hooks on them because you don't know what they're saying outside of that. You couldn't recite a verse. Where we come from, when the whimmies in the system, ain't no telling when will I diss them. That's what they be yelling. I'm a by blood, not relation. Y'all be chasing, not replay some, huh? Drunk off Chris, mama on E, can't keep your little model hands off me. Like the whole verse is in bad respect to those who break their necks to keep their hoes in check, cause though they sweat a brother majorly, and I don't know why. Everybody out there who is around my age and older or who loves hip hop can finish that verse. I would never have to. For a lot of people, when you're talking about this person is my favorite artist, you can't recite a full verse of theirs because what they're saying is ass most times, but the beat knocks and the chorus is good. Call a spade, keep it a stack with yourself. This is the not just the artist, but the artist developer in me that's talking about this, all right? And I know I could stay on this topic forever, but again, this is birthday recap. I spent my birthday in hip hop till infinity and had conversations at my birthday dinner with some of my favorite friends about all of this stuff as it was happening in real time. You can't understand. I am like in love. That's where this shirt from Nobody Jones with the two West Coast came out because I was of course, swinging for Kendrick. I'm always going to swing for Kendrick in any beef. But Drake, again, is in my top five as well because his pen is extraordinary. And if you guys didn't know it, go back and listen to just some of his intros. The shit I've been hearing from y'all really relieves some pressure. Like, A, B, I got you. CD, you get an E for effort. I piece letters together and get to talking reckless. That's Drake. Wait, I think I killed everybody in the game last year. Man, fuck it, I was on those. He say, they got me on these white women like Seal, nigga. Slave to the pussy, but I'm just playing the field, nigga. The amount of double and triple entendres would take me another 15 minutes that I don't have to explain to you. Drake has a pen. Has had a pen. It's not all from other people. Trust me, I'm trying to tell you something. And I say still, West, West, West. West, West. Listen, West on my chest, literally. What? Okay. Thank y'all for listening to me rant about my do-I-diddy, where Mirror is concerned, and my break it down, where my birthday recap and all the beef that happened. I didn't get into Rick Ross because I focus on the main three, but, you know, in Love Lounges, we can talk further about that. However, I want to get into my YN's words of wisdom for this episode because it goes back to the Do I Diddy mirror and it ties in recapping my birthday. YN's words of wisdom. Medium greatness is a play on yourself. In quotations, medium greatness is playing yourself. It equals you playing yourself. Wendy Vaughn, my sister, talks about people not being okay with a person's greatness. To cope with folks who aren't able to receive the fullness and the greatness of you, a lot of great people, bright, lighted people, will dim themselves just enough. We won't get too dark, but we'll dim ourselves just enough. We'll shave down accomplishments on our resume just enough. We will just speak a little lower and with a little less embodiment of our character, just enough to hopefully make everyone around in the room feel okay. That is a depiction, a few depictions of medium greatness. I'm here at 42 to tell you fuck that. Fuck that. Own all of you. Go more places that celebrate the fullness of you. I'm not saying don't know when and where to have time and place conversations, meaning I talk reckless on my podcast. When I go to teach in certain schools with a certain age range, I make sure that my vernacular matches the audience, because if I need to be able to cuss and talk hip hop, then I'm speaking egoically for me. Public speaking rule number one, know your audience. The main objective when I speak is to convey a message. Therefore, I'm going to make the message tailored to the ear that seeks to consume my content. All right? So if I'm speaking at a church, you're not going to hear cussing. If I'm speaking with older generation, you might hear more of my collegiate vocabulary. If I'm in a hip hop class at USC, we talking just the fuck like this because this is what we came here to do. And I'm sorry, higher ed, just because y'all discovered the viability of hip hop doesn't mean that we need to take off our Adidas suits and throw on three-pieced double-breasted ones to make y'all feel okay. Fuck all the fuck of that. Hello? We walk in how we came in. We were who we was before you discovered us, and that was already great. Medium greatness is tapering down who we are in order to make you feel comfortable about who you think you are. Because if you knew your greatness, you would be unbothered by how I step in. Nipsey talks about this in a few of his interviews. I'm going to be me fully wherever I go, whether it was curating his partnership with Puma before he passed or getting his partnership deal with Atlantic Records. I'm going to walk in as me anytime I walk in. If somebody's going to feel uncomfy about me being the fullness of myself, it's going to be you. But what I'm going to stand as is a beacon of full greatness, not medium greatness. I'm going to be great greatness and an invitation for you to know that you can be and do the same things. I bring this up when I talked about my poem, Mirror. I talked about the difference between YN's beauty and YN's booty, right? For an average mind, and I talked about this on a YN's Words of Wisdom, this was years ago, how when you're excellent, AKA like an A student, it's really challenging for someone who's only ever earned a C to call you excellent. They'll just see you as more than their average status. So they'll call your excellence good. A, excellent. B, good. C, average. D, below average. F, failure. So most human brain capacity, comprehension level says, I'm just going to do enough to get by. We work enough hours. We do enough at our jobs to not get fired. We work out enough to get the health benefits, but we don't want to do much more than that. We're only going to eat what we need to eat enough so that we don't get a disease. Most humans function for average. Therefore, if we're looking at this like a grade system, most people are at a C range of existence. Here go the problem. That C range student is also a CEO somewhere. That C-range person is also the interviewer as you're going on the interview. And when they see the breadth of your A, your excellence, you confuse them, intimidate them, make them uncomfy, or in some other way, off-put them, because they're equipped to know what's right above them and they call that good. To a person who's only ever achieved 79% of anything, they can confuse 80% good with 92% good. They don't see the difference. And if they see the difference, they wouldn't know how to explain what they see. Do you understand what I'm saying? When we encounter those types of conundrums, what I need you guys to know is you have to be the fullness of who you are. On Instagram, whenever I quote unquote break my bubble, I always invite, I'm going to say new loves into my world. people who might not even understand that they are love. So they just interact with my content and say things like, damn, I know you got some good pussy. Or, weird looking bitch, look like your shit stank. I've had 3 or 4 of those. No class having. The young lady earliest today, I made a comment under a Simone Biles thread. It's like 8 people on threads. So I don't know how this chick decided that she was, with her 29 followers, that she was going to come and attempt to be a part of my world. Simone Biles brought up something about Black women's bodies and fitness because she's a gymnast, you know. And I said, yeah, I said I had a incident where a personal trainer wouldn't take me on as a client because I didn't have a BBL. And he only took clients that had BBLs already. And I'm pretty sure it might have been for his content's sake or he wanted to, you know, whatever he did. Mind you, this was 2011 when this happened, right? All right, cool. But it happened. I was bringing it up to justify her point. And I don't know the algorithmic status of how things work on threads, but if it's anything like Instagram, when people engage with your content, it shoots you higher up in its algorithm. So whenever I comment, if I give my words to something, I'm like looking to help. So this 29 following having young Black lady comes up and says, it's so funny how you said that to get attention in this thing. And that's a clear lie. Who are we talking to? And you always have to be like, wait, did I comment on the right person's thing? Like maybe I commented on the wrong stuff. And it's like, no, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And I'm like, oh, I said, yikes. Is that the kind of content your 29 followers enjoys? Good luck with that. No, you probably thought you ate with that comment right there. But here go the thing. I'm not even going to tell you what she looked like she weighed. She talking about you ate. I'm like, girl, of course you is familiar with what niggas eat. Big neck bitch, huh? Neck so thick she could eat a brick if it's made by Frito-Lays. Hello? It's just funny because I tell you guys this all the time. And the only reason I'm bringing this up, your haters have about 23 followers. That's like a joke of mine since forever. But I bring that up to say a lot of folks have this desperation, need for attention, low energy. Nobody wants to see what you're doing because nobody gives a fuck about what you're doing. So there's this resentment, chip on your shoulder energy with which you go around the worldwide internet with trying to make yourself seen. It's so funny how overweight people have a propensity to feel so small, yet they feed an ego that's eating them and they get so big. If you look at my 600-pound life, something that my sister, well, I won't, something people I know watch like religiously. I can't watch shows like that. In my 600-pound life, almost every survivor of their 600 pounds has had some form of abuse or trauma in their background, namely sexual abuse. Carrying extra weight that wasn't meant for you, and you not knowing how to engage with yourself so that you could release the extra waste from yourself. Evidence being, watch the show and you can listen to how many stories have it yourself. That's not my type of thing. I get back to this miserable chick on threads though, and I just block her. I'm like, you know, well, respect to what you think you know. Hopefully this interaction gives Simone Biles a better, you know, time on this app and the algorithms. And I just block little people. Like, your Eunice is showing and it's not pleasant. It's not pleasurable. And it's evidenced by how few people can stay around you. Not just she, that just happened to happen today, literally while we're taping. Every other weird comment has come from some Black man, and I've only had another Black woman one time, and her page was private, but she had scripture in her. Oh, saints. Oh, you kind, loving saints with your negative comments that she said something about TJ and me. she commented something crazy about TJ and me. And it was like, you, and I bring that up not because this stuff is hurting me. I'm reporting to you all to say, I've often wondered why people don't be fully great. One of the big reasons, I believe, is because everyone knows that there are going to be average people that see your greatness and feel uncomfy, off-put, intimidated, angered by, jealous of, resentful at you. My personal opinion, allow others to have their feelings. People aren't going to get you in this life, and it's okay. A different version of me would say, man, fuck them niggas. But, you know, I'ma just go ahead and keep it somewhat positive and say, in real life, allow people to misunderstand you. It's their right. But don't let their misunderstanding of you be your misunderstanding of you. Never give in to the temptation to dim yourself into medium greatness. Be fully great and let everybody else deal with they shit later. Before I go. Dang, you little bitches. I'm getting right into it. Do gang. Thought you knew, gang. Listen. My cousin at Maya Smith, that's not true. It's at I Love the Do, I-L-O-V-E-T-H-E-D-O-U-X. This came from this necklace I have on, if you're on YouTube, came from a set that she gifted me, right? It came right in time for my birthday. I got my chain on. What? I got some lip gloss. I love the do you lip gloss on. Listen, my hair this go around has been done with nothing but the do products. But y'all know I've had my head up my sauna's ass, so I would have had it down for you, but I just couldn't let it get puffy and misrepresent my cuzzo. But I'm on some straight gangster. The newest product line from The Do is called the Press Play Thermal Styling System. Dewdrops is one of my favorite pieces to this system. Just glaze as a pre-blow dry when I'm detangling everything. It's insane. And my baby girl just got me one of the pieces of this influencer package set that I just unboxed, and that content will be coming to you soon. Look at what my cousin did. This woman, this beautiful woman, The Do is a Black-owned, veteran-owned, female-owned company. If you haven't seen these products in Target, in Walmart, in Sally's Beauty, please, and other places, by the way, Amazon, a bunch of other places, go to THEDOUX, thedo.com, or on Instagram, once again, ILOVETHEDOUX. This is my cousin right here. I love that woman to life. She was on the pod last year in May. I'm just so in love. I'm so proud of her. Goodness. I mean, I'm still blown away by that packaging, by everything. I can't wait for them to see that content. Also, number two, Will.i.am's space. My homeboy Sean, who runs The Questions Hip Hop on Instagram, and my homegirl Julie Pilot, that I learned and knew when I was working on The Pharmacy with Dr. Dre and Apple Music. You are all running an amazing ship over there at FYI.ai. This is Will.i.am's creation, and this space is for creators. I implore each of you to follow, check out at FYI.ai and learn more about what genius a dude from Compton named Will.i.am is doing. Number three, we're going to keep this rolling. Sean C. Oh my God. Sean, S-E-A-N Nye, N-Y-E-U-S-C, Sean Nye N-S-C on Instagram. Angelica from the hip hop class over at Thornton School of Music in USC. Thank you, and more. Thank you for having me. Angelica, I'm so proud of you and all of the doctoral work that you've accomplished over there. Very, very proud. Dr. Sean, I love coming in to your classroom and you allowing me to be as hip-hop as my West Coast heart can muster, especially because we were talking about all this beef stuff because it was happening in real time. I'm very happy about that. Thank you all very much. On my birthday, Nas and Mass Appeal Hip Hop 50 put on this curated experience, especially on the West Coast, for the West Coast, at Hip Hop Till Infinity, all spelled correctly, and not until, till, T-I-L, infinity. By the time you all hear this, it might already be gone from Los Angeles. It was supposed to be gone at the end of March. It got such positive reception. It stayed a couple more weeks. I got to go for my birthday on the 13th, and I think it's gone by the 28th of April. So I don't know when, I can't even think right now when this comes out. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, be sure if it comes to your city, keep the legacy of amazing hip hop pioneers like Nas, Rock the Bells and LL, or Questlove has been doing a lot of stuff for all of this hip hop legacy work. Please be sure to support these individuals, these entrepreneurial businessmen, when you see them, and ladies, by the way, at T Bunzy, T, the letter T, B-U-N-Z-E-Y, the letter T, B-U-N-Z-E-Y, at Tyler Bunzy. Thank you for allowing me to come and talk with your students earlier this morning at 7 this morning. This is the same makeup. I don't give a fuck. I just want you to know. I don't think you cared about that, but I'm just like, I have to go to a business meeting right now, so I'm just like, in my head, keep going. This individual, for anyone who doesn't know, teaches an entire course on Rhapsody's album, Eve. Again, go back to artists like Kendrick and Rhapsody, who take a bold stance with their art and their platforms and decide to really cater to something like All Black Women on Eve, or mental health and therapy on Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. These are artists. All that first week sales numbers and all the extras, all the commercialism, if you're under the tree of a Drake brand, leave that to that conversation over there. But when real artists do real art, it's not only appreciated, it's able to be put in collegiate coursework. All right? Tyler Bunzy decided to do that, created a course off of Rhapsody's Eve album, and I got to teach in there earlier today. I love you. I love all of you involved. Thank you, students. All the students named in the spaces where I've been, for allowing me to come and speak. Last but never least, light work resumes Saturday from when we tape this. And by the time this comes out, there will only be two more sessions. The light works have been exceptional. Light work is my professional mentoring program where I take a few, no more than 13, of Love Culture's participants, and we really hone in on certain topics that we've discovered we want to dig into, delve into, expand more, and learn more about ourselves in. And this go-round has been fucking incredible, like nothing less than. So thankful to all of the loves that have supported me in that way of supporting light work. And if you ever want to get in contact with this platform, at RAISEITUPWY, at RAISEITUPWY, at Raise It Up Y on all platforms, most active on Instagram. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for being here. Don't ever play yourself. Medium greatness is bullshit. If 42 is teaching me anything, be fully you wherever you go. It's the only way you'll attract the life that's meant for you to live. With that being said, keep it true. Always do you, boo-boo. And forever and always, stay real, y'all.
Raise it up, why? Raise it up. Raise it up, why? Raise it up. He raise it up, why? Raise it up. Raise it up, why? He raise it up. He raise it up.